Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Paramount CEO Bob Bakish steps down as the company explores a sale. And investors are starting to worry about the Trump-Biden rematch.
What I'm hearing from strategists on Wall Street, from financial advisors, is that the election is the number one thing that comes up in their conversations with clients. People are telling me this is the thing that comes up at every single meeting.
Plus, executive flights on corporate jets are worth millions more than reported. It's Monday, April 29th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. We start with an update to a story we brought you this morning. Paramount Global's board is parting ways with Chief Executive Bob Bakish. The leadership shakeup comes as the entertainment giant is in the midst of a merger drama and is looking to jumpstart its business. Paramount said it would put in place an office of the CEO, through which three of its division heads will run the company. Bakish's exit comes as Paramount, owner of brands like CBS, MTV, Nickelodeon, and the Paramount Movie Studio, is in merger discussions with Skydance Media, with a 30-day exclusivity period set to end soon. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, or NHTSA, has launched an investigation into Ford's hands-free driving system after a pair of recent crashes that left three people dead. In both cases, the agency said Ford Mustang Mach-E SUVs collided with stationary vehicles on highways during nighttime lighting conditions. The agency confirmed Blue Cruise, Ford's driver assistance system, was engaged in each of the vehicles in question. A Ford spokeswoman said the company is working with the regulator to support its investigation. State and federal regulators have been paying more attention to driver assistance systems as they become more widespread. NHTSA has escalated its scrutiny of Tesla's autopilot. Investors are pouring a lot of money into artificial intelligence startups. Some are raising hundreds of millions of dollars before they even have a product or revenue. Startups and venture capital reporter Berber Jin told our Tech News briefing team that such valuations aren't necessarily new for Silicon Valley. But there are some key differences when it comes to all the money pouring into AI.
The concerns of the startup bubble are related to how investors are willing to just ditch the traditional rules that they apply to valuing companies and are just slapping any buzzy AI startup with like a $1 billion valuation. 10 years ago, hitting a $1 billion valuation was a huge milestone for a business. It meant that they were here to stay. They had a product and a business model that worked with consumers or with businesses. But now what you see is that a lot of these AI startups are becoming $1 billion companies just a few months after they've been founded. There's not much you can point to in the way of revenue or cash burn or path to profitability. It is kind of just selling an idea, and you think this idea is worth $2 billion. You know, no matter how talented the team is, it's a frothy and overvalued bet to make.
You can hear more from Berber on our Tech News Briefing podcast tomorrow morning. In securities filings, companies report spending millions of dollars to fly their top executives to vacation homes and resorts. But for the CEOs, the benefits are much higher. A Wall Street Journal analysis found that if these executives chartered a private jet themselves, in some cases it would cost more than double what the company says it spends. The difference comes from companies not reporting fixed costs, like pilot salaries or insurance. Instead, they just report the cost of fuel and other additional costs for these trips. That means at many of the biggest U.S. companies, top execs are getting tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars more in flight benefits than the disclosures suggest. Teo Francis, who covers executive compensation for The Wall Street Journal, explains.
Executives are really getting a lot more in this perk than what companies report. Their pay is actually higher in some real sense than what it costs the company. Investors tend to look closely at executive pay because they want to make sure that the incentives and the reward is aligned with what investors get. So when shareholders are losing or are not doing well, they want to understand and they want to know that the executives have some skin in the game, that the executives aren't getting rewarded for a mediocre job.
Corporate jets are among the perks that the biggest U.S. companies offer their top execs, alongside million-dollar salaries, annual bonuses, and stocks and options. Many corporate officers are allowed to take the same jets on vacation to visit relatives or commute. Some can even fly family and friends at the company's expense. We want to hear from you about the green transition. Some of the subsidies that boosted solar panels and EVs are going away. So what questions do you have about the economics of going green? If you took advantage of subsidies, has it paid off? And if you haven't, what would get you to? To weigh in, send a voice memo to WNPOD@WSJ.com or leave a voicemail with your name and location at 212-416-4328. We might use it on the show. Coming up, investors are getting nervous about the upcoming presidential election and what it could mean for their portfolios. More after the break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The presidential election is still several months away, but investors are already on edge about the upcoming rematch between President Biden and former President Donald Trump. They're trying to figure out what a Biden or Trump win would mean for their portfolios, including everything from stocks to interest rates to oil prices. Here now with more is Gunjan Banerjee, our lead writer for Live Markets. Welcome, Gunjan.
Thanks for having me, Anne-Marie.
So, Gunjan, there is a bit of precedent to rely on here. After all, we know both Biden and Trump's White House records. So what are investors most concerned about?
Right. It's so interesting, Anne-Marie. Even though we've seen what the market looks like during a Trump election, we've certainly seen what it looks like during a Biden election, investors are still freaking out about this coming rematch between Biden and Trump. What I'm hearing from strategists on Wall Street, from financial advisors, is that the election is the number one thing that comes up in their conversations with clients. And we're already seeing this in the market, even though we're several months out. You know, April has been a little bit rocky for the stock market, but despite some of this near-term volatility that we've seen, we're actually seeing investors more anxious about several months out, that October, November timeframe when the election is happening. And we're seeing that in the derivatives market, where people are actually paying up for the types of trades that would pay out if the stock market fell around that timeframe. Think of these as like stock insurance, right? We're seeing investors pay up for that stock market insurance around that autumn timeframe tied to the election.
Does that have anything to do with the fact that it's sort of hard to predict the outcome in this case?
You know, investors do tend to get anxious ahead of elections. There's just a lot of unknowns in terms of policies, how the election will shake out. Will it be a close call? You know, last time around, some investors were fearful about a murky election result. Remember that controversy around mail-in ballots, mail-in votes, and how long it would take for the U.S. to really decide on a winner. There's just a lot of curveballs that can get thrown our way heading into the election. And we do see things tend to get volatile around that time frame. Though, of course, once that uncertainty passes, major indexes do typically rally. Volatility does come down. And we have seen that in data going back to 1928.
What are some of the other major concerns for investors?
Some of the big things on investors' minds heading into this election are the U.S. debt, which has surged in recent years, fiscal policy, taxes. You know, there's a big tax cut that's set to sunset after 2025, and that could have big implications for investors' wallets, right? Do these individual tax cuts sunset and are they rolled back? So that's one thing that I think is on a lot of people's minds. The other thing is treasury issuance. The U.S. debt has simply surged in recent years. We're seeing our deficit grow wider and wider and wider. And a lot of investors are nervous about that. Of course, a A lot of financial advisors, investors told me that they expect this deficit and treasury issuance to kind of keep surging, regardless of who's president.
So what are the financial advisors you mentioned you spoke to telling their clients who come to them nervous and with more questions?
It's so interesting. Financial advisors tell me they're getting bombarded with questions from their clients on what this election will mean for investors' portfolios, you know, what's the implications of any tax policy, fiscal policy. But what they've told me is that, look, it's really important for people to kind of stay calm and carry on heading into the election. I think their message is don't freak out, and that it's important to not try to time the market ahead of the election, because what we've seen, and again, data going back to 1928, is that average stock returns in years where we have an election versus years we don't have an election are actually pretty similar. Even though the path tends to be a little bit more volatile heading into that election, stocks tend to do well after the election passes, and full year price returns for the S&P 500 are pretty similar. In years there is a contest, and years there isn't a contest.
Gunjan Banerjee is our lead writer for Live Markets. And finally, we just talked about how investors are hedging their bets in an election year. Meanwhile, some election watchers are placing actual bets on the outcome. About 80,000 U.S. citizens are active users of Predictit, a political futures website run by Victoria University in New Zealand that offers wagers on electoral politics. Users place their bets by buying shares ranging in price from a penny to 99 cents on any single outcome. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission wants to shutter Predictit. An appeals court had said that a no-action letter by the CFTC was functionally equivalent to a license to operate. Freelance writer Nick Fortuna explains.
When the agency gave it a no-action letter saying that the staff would not recommend taking action against it, that was ruled to be a license to operate. And so when the CFTC revoked that letter in August 2022, the court ruled that that was a quote-unquote final agency action, and therefore that action is reviewable in court. So now the two sides, the CFTC and Predictit, are going against each other in litigation. You know, prior to the 2020 election, users put in $150 million worth of wagers. From the CFTC's perspective, this has just gotten a little bit more out of hand than they had anticipated when they decided to greenlight it earlier.
As for the bets on this year's U.S. presidential election, a Predictit spokeswoman says the company expects to be operating at least through this election cycle because of an injunction in place. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. Today's show was produced by Pierre Bien-Aimé and Anthony Bansi, with supervising producer Michael Cosmides. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back with a new show tomorrow morning. Thanks for listening.